Welcome to Normal for Norway.
I'm Seamus.
And I'm Indigo.
This is the podcast where each episode we dissect one weird thing about Norway.
So sit back, relax, and read a fucking book.
Yeah. But actually, this episode isn't really a weird thing about Norway. It's just like books.
Yeah, we're kind of cheating on this one because we needed something that was relevant for the evening, the occasion, which is, of course, fundraising for Prismatic Pages, my bookstore, which will be opening hopefully in December. I haven't actually signed the contract yet, but I have...
It's a ruse, guys.
Yeah, no, but it will be near Skausplass, fingers crossed. So very, very central. And for everyone listening who doesn't know where that is, we'll get you a map. So we're going to talk about books, but first, the news. News.
Oh, actually, I have an update first on the news.
Yeah.
Which is that there's no news. And I think there's a lesson. So if you listen to our podcast, you know that something that we've been covering for many episodes is the woman that is accused of poisoning her whole family with poisonous mushrooms.
Shit.
Yeah, this is Australian news. We have an Australian in the audience. Do you know this story? Yeah. So for anyone that doesn't know, a woman basically served up her family a beef Wellington that had mushrooms that she didn't forage. Actually, we covered it in the foraging episode, but she bought them, she says, in Woolworths. Is that a shop in Australia? Yeah, a Woolworths and an Asian market. And then she says that she did nothing, but it's a bit suspicious. But anyway, I was Googling this to see if there's been an update, and there hasn't. Like, there's no, which is such a story. It's like, you know, if you're in a media shitstorm and you're getting canceled for poisoning your whole family, don't worry, because people will forget about it and move on. There's been no update on it in like months. So it's kind of like she got away scot-free.
Wow. Well, good for her. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. We don't know what the motive was. So.
Well, we don't know if she did it. Indigo, we don't want
to
get
sued. Allegedly, yeah, allegedly. All right, but I'm going to give you two pieces of news from Norway. Unfortunately, they're not book related because I couldn't find any book related news. There was some book related news, but it was about a bookstore that closed, so we're not going to talk about that.
That's good news for you.
Yeah, true.
Kind of.
Yeah, maybe. Probably not. All right, so they're both from Avisa Oslo. They still aren't sponsoring us, unfortunately. I invited some journalists from Avisa Oslo tonight that I know.
Really?
They didn't respond.
Oh.
So first we have a child-related piece of news. And I think I know what side you're going to fall on this. And apologies to anyone with children in the audience tonight. A mother reacts to the action taken by Rema. And then she says, Horreisende. So she's
hair
shocked.
Raising.
Yeah, hair raising.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there's a sign that says, "Skoleelever," school children, no entry between 9 and 4. And basically, the gist of this is that near Sofienberg, there's a Rema that is just saying there are no school children between 9 and 4 because they had come in and caused chaos and harassed the customers and harassed the workers.
Oh, I thought they'd be thieving.
No. They were just causing chaos, apparently.
Oh, because in fairness, there was a shop near me or like near my school growing up, and there they allowed us in, but only one at a time. Mm. But maybe because of the chaos rule.
Well, no. So they said they have been ufin. So they have not been nice.
Oh, okay. Right.
And the mother says that this is discrimination.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I would say they should just bring in the rule one at a time because it's not fair. Like maybe they go in and buy their lunch.
Well, so that's the thing is she said, my child can't buy food between his school and his activities. To which I said, doesn't school go till 4 p.m.?
But also how do you, like in Ireland, it's really easy to distinguish a school child because we all wear uniforms. In Norway, how the hell do you know? You could be like,
you could just,
I'm not a school child.
You could be not in school at all. You could be,
or you could just look really young.
Yeah. Is that a call out at Sigurd?
Well, this is an interesting topic because it's like they're not buying alcohol or cigarettes, so there's no reason to ID them. Hmm. So how do they actually enforce that rule?
Unclear. It didn't say, but this mother is not happy.
I'd say he can just go in there. She needs to get a life.
Case closed.
Yeah.
Next, we have the police in Lofoten It is not allowed to film a porno in here.
What?
Also, this is not in Oslo.
What do you mean, in
oh, sorry,
here?
This was
in Lofoten.
No, yeah, so this is actually, this was NRK, not Avisa Oslo. So good for you, NRK, giving us the news that we deserve. Yeah. So there was a porn, like, yeah, shoot in a Thun hotel in Svolvær in the sauna.
Okay, in the that's sauna. Not allowed, to be fair. Like a public sauna.
No, in the hotel sauna.
Yeah, exactly.
And so this is, yeah, so this
but it's
is
not like a private sauna.
Yeah, so this is the thing is that, the police are saying that this is it's not allowed to have sex in a public place. And if they had known, they would have gotten like a fine.
Yeah.
But there's a Professor Olav Torvund at UiO.
Yeah.
Don't know what he's a professor of. I haven't been able to figure it out from this article. And he is going out on, you know, he is championing
their right to do
their
it.
Their right to do it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And he says that, like, the filming itself is not illegal. Like, it could be that there, if there was an agreement with a hotel, maybe there's something there. But he's like, actually, the filming is fine.
Well,
and
but surely there's rules about like filming for like commercial purposes in place.
Well, so he's actually, I see it now. He's professor for privatrett. I don't really. Does anyone know what that is in English? Privacy laws, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but the police in Lofoten don't agree.
But did anyway. They? Finish it. Can we watch?
Yeah.
Link in bio.
I don't.
In fact, in a twist, it was me and Indigo. And we're gonna do a screening.
We're monetizing. We're monetizing this film for prismatic pages.
Yeah, a projector screen just starts coming down, and we lock the door.
You have to pay to not watch it.
Yeah. the professor of privatrett is standing at the door just like, this is their right.
Yeah. No, so yeah, he says the hotel isn't allowed to make rules that they can't film a porn in the Badstu.
Good for
them.
I've heard of people like renting out their houses on Airbnb and then people using it to like film porn and then being like horrified.
Actually, that was another piece
of
news.
I wouldn't care. Like,
that was another piece of news. I dropped it. We're not doing it. But somebody did have that in Avisa Oslo this week. So like, condoms everywhere, apparently.
Oh, God. Yeah, I was going to say, if you clean up, it's like fine. Yeah.
Anyway.
But maybe I would want a bit of money, like extra money. Because, yeah, again, it's like you're using the place for, yeah.
Anyway, that was all the news for the week.
This is actually a thing. I just came back from Korea and Japan, and apparently they're having a lot of problems with influencers like filming everywhere, and they're very like private people, and they don't want their restaurants to be used to be like influenced or whatever. So, and also to be shooting.
And no porn.
No porn in the restaurant.
Yeah.
That's like a hygiene. We need like a professor for hygiene to come in and be like, this isn't
biologist.
Safe.
Okay, but onward to books.
Yes, books.
So, history of books.
Yeah, I looked
where do they come from?
I looked up the history of books. The Vikings had no books. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
No, they didn't. And when I read that, I was disappointed. I was kind of like, no books? But then I was thinking, probably back in the day, the books were boring anyway. And then I looked up there's a new like ChatGPT called Perplexity, which
that doesn't sound like it would be helpful.
Yeah, it's gonna perplex you. No, but it like it actually gives sources. So you know on ChatGPT it like hallucinates and like makes stuff up. This one actually will tell you, and then like it has like what are those things like in
citations?
Yeah, citations. And then you can click the citation and you can like read it.
Okay.
So I asked it like, because my train of thought was like, okay, the Vikings had no books, that's lame.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, what books were people even reading when the Vikings were around?
Yeah.
And then it came up with this list of books and they were boring. I can tell you, like Beowulf. No, who wants to read that?
Who even reads that?
Like a lot of like the ecclesiastical history of the English people. Boo. Don't want to fucking read that. They didn't have books, but they were scratching their little runes like around different places.
Ooh.
And in fact, the oldest written like record of a Germanic language is written in runes. So like runes were written down before like English, German, Dutch, anything like that. But what were they writing in runes?
They were probably just like, I fucked.
No, literally. So
Freya, behind the rock.
No, so So there was like a load of runic inscriptions founded somewhere, and one of them is literally thorny fucked, Helgi carved. Like, because what would they would always write? It was kind of like the Viking equivalent of like Seamus.
So Helgi
was
here. The bottom.
Well, no, I think thorny is a woman's name.
Oh.
I googled this because I was hoping it was going to be like queer history.
Yeah.
But apparently thorny is like an old. Huh. I'm sure I'm saying it's like Thord. It's like new Thor.
Oh,
apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was thinking about that. I was like, what do you mean thorny fucked and Helgi carved? Like, were thorny and Helgi fucking?
Yeah, because that's what I would assume.
But it's not. It's like thorny fucked someone while Helgi carved.
Wow.
Maybe Helgi's a cook. Cook? How do you pronounce that?
Cook?
Not cook. You know what I mean. You guys are sick. And
that's why this podcast is explicit on Spotify.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. This one is getting actually a few too many drinks. No, but the collection of the runes that were like the actual, the oldest are carved on loose objects while later ones are chiseled in runestones. They are the oldest written record of any Germanic language, which are like the Elder Futhark inscriptions.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And then I looked up like, okay, well, what were those ones? Because the fucking ones were like something else. I don't think, they were maybe in Denmark or something, of course. And the ones in, these were in southern Sweden.
Okay. More refined.
Like, yeah, while their meaning is unclear, so they kept writing this thing Alu. They just would like just find a rock and just like write Alu on it.
Okay.
And they're like, what does that mean? And it's just like beer, like ale. So the issue were just going around finding a rock and just being like beer. Which is telling.
Yeah.
A simple people, the Vikings. And then they would also...
Their books wouldn't have been much, to be honest.
Yeah. Then they would also write leek or garlic.
Oh, okay. Well, that's helpful
something
for foraging.
To do with, no.
No?
It was to do with sex.
Oh, okay.
It was like something to do with fertility, like a leek.
Okay.
A leek or a garlic. I don't know.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, and then the books came eventually to Norway when Christianity came. Mm. And it was like a homily. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
What is it?
Isn't it like a short, like, religious text?
I didn't know what it was.
Does
but
anyone
anyway.
Else know? It's like no. We actually have fact-checking tonight. Everyone who usually screams at us.
Anyway, the
we
first
can't
book
hear
was
them.
Boring. Again, like a homily. Like, I don't want to read that. Yeah, and then I suppose, like, I was kind of like asking, like, when did, or like Googling, like, when did people start to read books for fun? Or like, because I suppose that's what we're more talking about.
Yeah.
Like, we don't care about like administrative.
I hope people have fun when they come to my store.
Yeah, right. I'm not really sure, but I think people basically started to read for fun globally in like the 18th century. Like,
okay.
Novels kind of became a thing. Mm. Of course, there were some like ancient novels, but I think probably most people couldn't read.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm. Presumably.
Just scratching their runes and, yeah.
Ale.
Yeah.
Well.
So that is the history of books.
I learned. That's it. It's over.
From the professor of books.
Yeah.
At UIO.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
I actually did. That taught me a lot. Well, okay. So I did some research on reading in Norway.
Oh, okay.
Because I was curious, like, if Norwegians read more or less than other people. Mm. And I mean, there is one. First of all, yes, they do read more than a lot of other countries, oh. Which is great for me. And they also buy books, which is also great. For example, there are 11 per 11,000 inhabitants. There's one bookstore. In Sweden, it's per 34,000, and Denmark is per 19,000.
Oh wow!
So there's a lot of bookstores that manage to stay in business, apparently, except for that one that I didn't talk about. And then. Yeah, also, like, a few years ago, there was a survey, and it showed that 1 out of 4 people say that they read a book daily, like, that they read in a book.
Oh, okay.
It didn't say, like, how much, but they said, like, I pick up a book every day.
Did you get any stats on, like, books versus e-read, like, Kindle?
Yeah, there was a little bit. Well, actually, no, what's more interesting is audiobooks are really taking off.
Okay.
So people like to listen to audiobooks, but the sale of physical books is still quite good in Norway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because a boring anecdote for me is that I lost my Kindle and all of my Kindle books are on Amazon UK.
Yeah.
And then I bought a Kindle in the shop here and it was like, it's an American Kindle. So I couldn't get my like UK books onto it. So I had to return it. So if you do buy a Kindle here, then you have to buy books on the American Kindle shop, which is kind of weird.
Just come to my bookstore instead.
And they're probably, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and apparently, so men only read, 8 books per year on average. Women read 18.5.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
That's like one every 2 weeks nearly.
Yeah.
And or, no, wait.
Isn't that, that's honestly crazy. 83% read at least one book throughout the year. But they read on average 13. And then it also said that, like, yeah, Norway, like I said, is pretty high up there. But also a quarter of the population are, like, what they call super readers, and they read more than a book a month. So, like, that's pretty impressive.
But wait, 18 a year is more than a book a month, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying on the overall, like, if you look at the entire population, because that was just for women. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then there are these like super readers.
Why? Yeah, because I saw that in my stats as well, that like they were talking about like reading books and how basically when people are young, everyone is reading all the time.
Mm.
And then apparently when people turn into teenagers, weird way of putting it, he's turned into a teenager. Men or like teenage boys stop reading.
Yeah.
Apparently. But teenage girls continue reading. And then men like pick it up a bit later, but they'd never recover.
The gap occurs at age 20, according to the survey that I looked
at. Why is that?
Don't know.
Too busy fucking Helgi. Or whoever.
Thorny.
Yeah, sorry.
And then also, I just got some stats to compare. So Ireland also is up there. 3/4 of the population claims to read more than 6 books a year. And
6?
Yeah.
But wait, sorry. What was the original stat that you said? 18.
18 for women in Norway.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But also, this is my favorite from Ireland. Most people prefer to get stuck into a good book in bed, 56%, followed by the sitting room, 25%.
I only really read in bed. Where do you read?
Yeah, I read in bed or on the couch.
It's a good way to fall asleep.
Yeah, I love falling asleep with a good
book.
Yeah,
just like eyes starting to close.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
So soothing. Americans read on average 12.6 books in 2021, a lot more than I expected, but it was two or three fewer.
75 Shades of Grey part 3.
Hey, it's been going down though, apparently, but still not bad. Moving on from the statistics, although I did find them very helpful. I kind of want to skip bookstores because the only bookstore that anyone should care about is mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is there, because okay, I was thinking about this. There's Norli, there's Ark, there's that other one. Freed something.
What?
There's like another one. Maybe it's not in Oslo, but when I Googled it, it was like coming up. Or maybe it's an online one. But is there like a distinction between like the types of books that Ark has and the types of books that Norli has?
Ark is like a bit more, maybe like mainstream somehow, or kind of cheaper. And then like Norli is kind of like, we're
has
intellectual.
Ark books and stuff, right?
Yeah.
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 What are you going to be?
I'm more on the Norli side, I would say.
Bourgeois.
But even better, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have got some bad news for you, actually, about a new law.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Do you want to hear about that now?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I've got good news and I've got bad news.
I've got bad news. Only
bad news?
To be honest, I don't understand this law. It's the... Does anyone know about this? Book law.
Well, that already existed, but is it an
amendment? No, it
just
came in this year.
No, but there was book. There was a book law
before. So the like Labour Party tried to bring it in.
Okay.
Then Høyre came and Erna Solberg was like, no fucking way. You're not getting that law in. Okay. And now that they've gotten back in, they brought it in again, which is basically that there should be, I don't really quite understand this, but it says the government proposes, I like auto translated this.
Okay. So, with perplexity.
Well, I also read it in Norwegian and like it didn't really make sense in either. But it's like the government proposes that there should be a fixed price period of 12 months for each format that is published, like that a book is published in.
Mm.
So like when a book is released, basically, there will be like a price that is decided by the publisher that the book sellers have to sell it at for a year. So you're gonna have, you like, you won't have freedom to sell your books.
No, but I think I think this is only for Norwegian books, although we'll have to look more into this. But yeah, there have been laws about Norwegian books, and like there's a certain number that are bought by the government every year, and or not the government, like the libraries, and there's all this crazy stuff.
But the Minister for Culture or whatever, they asked her, how do you think the Book Act, book law, will affect like ordinary people? And her response was, everyone benefits from the Book Act. That was her whole response.
Oh my God. Like,
that's, and the journalist obviously just let her away with it. It's like, cool, next question.
Great, yeah. Like,
and then the
was this a
Konkurrensetilsynet has come out and been like, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Because apparently it's like gonna, it sounds like a bad idea to me. It sounds, obviously we are.
No, I mean, yeah, it sounds bad.
Yeah, and obviously we're a libertarian, far-right podcast. And I want to be able to sell my book for whatever fucking price I want to sell it. No, but they were just like, oh, it's basically going to discourage bookshops to actually list, to even try and sell these books, because they just won't sell them at all.
Yeah.
And then it's going to act, because like what they're trying to make it so that more books get read, because there's not so much pressure. I don't really know. Is someone smarter in the house that can explain the book law?
Don't bother.
No. Okay.
Anyway,
it's coming. It's here. It's done.
Well, so. Okay, but another law-related thing that is good, and also thanks to FRP, which... I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true, which is that they're going to change the alcohol law Oslo so that retail spaces can sell alcohol as long as they're like clearly oriented towards adults. So but maybe sometime soon there will be alcohol in my bookstore.
But will that stop you from having kids books?
Maybe I have to look into it. Children are canceled.
Yeah, you should definitely have that sign up being like, no kids, for no reason. Like they haven't done anything. Yeah. Just like no kids.
24 hours a day. not even 9 to 4, just.
Yeah.
No, I do want to have children's books though, is the thing. So maybe I can make like a little curtain that you close when
or the alcohol. Like, could you have like a trolley that you like wheel in and out?
Oh, good idea.
I think that would stand up in the court of law. No. Well, you're the trolley is in the back during the day. No.
Wait,
in the
front. Does the trolley have the alcohol or the books?
The books. The alcohol is always there. No, hang on. No, I was thinking like you wheel the kids' books away.
Yeah.
The alcohol out. Uh-huh. In
love
the evenings.
It.
Yeah.
A little switcheroo.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to libraries.
Yes.
Deichmann, the new Deichmann, won best library in the world last year. Yeah. Now I can't find my link, which is annoying, but it did.
I have some stuff about the Deichmann as well.
Tell me what you know about Deichmann.
It cost 2.5 billion kroner.
Oh my God.
So that's like 250 million euro, which is kind of cool. Obviously, like the Norwegian government is committed to books and to libraries. Not that that place is very conducive to reading.
No. I would say. Yeah, we've talked about this. Oh, there's so many teenagers.
I was trying to find.
We should ban school at 11.
Yeah. Sorry, one day, do you remember? Was it when
we went to work? Together.
We went to work there together, and it was literally just like the cast of Scum.
Yeah.
We're just like in there, just like sitting on each other's laps, just like looking really fucking cool and teenage and just like being annoying.
Oh, they were so loud.
Yeah.
And we were like, salaried workers trying to do our job.
I was trying to find though, because I feel like every time I have like a grumpy old man thought, Aftenposten like somehow
intuits.
Gets like a signal from my brain and then like writes an article about it, because later that week there was an article from like a grumpy old man in Aftenposten, which by the way, to our listeners or whatever, is like the kind of conservative newspaper like the Telegraph of Norway.
Yeah.
And it was like, I get that like libraries should be like, you know, we should encourage people to go there, but enough is enough. Like, it needs to be a place of stillness and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I agree. But not really. But that library is like fucking chaotic. It's like trams, boogies,
I was sitting there working one day.
Yeah.
And then like just at like a little table. And this library worker comes up to me and is like, oh, you can't stay here. You need to move because this is reserved for eating matpakke.
Oh, yeah.
And I
Imir, is that area as well signposted, I will say. That's the most chaotic place in the whole
because
library.
Now they have pram parking there. Parking, yeah. But yeah, I was like, I'm working in a library and you're telling me I have to move because I don't have a malt bucket? That's so Norwegian.
Which, by the way, we have an episode on. Tune in.
Yeah.
No, but actually, I also looked up some interesting stuff about the library, if you know it. Okay, so like people that haven't seen it, it kind of like goes up and then it like sticks out like really far. And they did that because the site is very like small and they didn't want to build it too high because it would like ruin the environment.
Mm.
So like then a clever like architectural trick is like you build this cantilevered thing. So it's like even though the footprint is small, then you like can make the surface area much bigger by building it out.
Mm.
And there's like some cool pictures of it.
Frank Lloyd Wright loved cantilevers.
Yeah, 20 meters it sticks out over, it hangs out over the urban plaza.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It is lovely.
And it contains the Future Library Project.
Yes, crossover content.
More plugs.
Yeah, because I do the communications work for Future Library. That's like my other random side job. And
which is what?
It is an amazing, spectacular art project that was funded by Bjørvika Utvikling. So it was like the when they were making Bjørvika, which is the downtown area on the water, they were like, we want to have an art piece that is for the people of Oslo, like all the inhabitants of Oslo. And so they commissioned Katie Patterson, who's a Scottish artist, to do something. And she came to Norway and she was in a cabin and she was like, I need a forest. And then
what cabin?
So on the Beate.
And who did she say that to? Herself.
So on the Beate Hovind, who's the chair of the board.
Yeah.
And it was with Bjørvika Utvikling, was like, come to my cabin, think about the project. And then she like emerged and was like, I need a forest.
I need a forest. Yeah.
And on the Beate was like, okay.
It's like these futuristic.
Yeah, but not always futuristic, but very like big, like cathedral thinking is what it's called. So it's like long term, like space and time and
space.
Yeah.
Like outer space.
Yes. She sends like music into space and then brings it back. It's really crazy. It's so many crazy things. But so yeah, she was like, we need a forest. And what they did was they designated a part of Nordmarka. And it was trees that they would have like thinned out anyway. They cut down trees and then they planted 1,000 new trees that are going to grow for 100 years. Mm. And each year an author writes a book that is secret, that is not read by anyone, except for, of course, the person who wrote it. And they will be published in the 100th year.
Have any been leaked, actually?
No.
No?
No.
Not that you know of. Says the communications director of the Future Library Project.
And so all the 1,000 trees that are growing now then will be cut down and they will print.
So we're never going to get to read one.
No, not
us. What year will it come out?
So it's 2114.
21.
Yeah.
Well, 1991, 21.
You're planning to live for a while.
Who knows what technology will come in the future, guys? Maybe
who knows,
we're all
going
to live
that's
to 500.
True. But so the manuscripts, there are two copies, but one of the copies of each of them is stored in Deichmann, in the
like
Future
cool
Library
area.
Silent Room. Yeah,
I haven't actually been there.
It's on
did
the top
you,
floor.
We told you to go, Knut. Did you check it out? You saw it? Okay.
Nice. Knut says.
He
Knut
said it was cool.
Confirms it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been there, actually.
So yeah, that's kind of...
I thought it was cool. I mean, there's
beautiful.
Been big name. It was like Margaret Atwood wrote one.
She was the first one. Knausgård.
Haven't written mine yet. Like they've asked me. I'm just thinking about what I'm gonna write it about. But
yeah. So
Ale.
Yeah. Alu. Yeah. We've already kept people here for 30 minutes, which honestly for us is like
That's the
restrained.
Yeah.
Should we touch on Norwegian literature? Basically, all I found out is it's quite depressing.
Ibsen.
Ibsen.
Do you know about Ibsen?
I mean, I've seen a couple of Ibsen plays and I enjoyed them.
Well,
yeah.
Talk about it.
No, I mean, there's not that much to say, to be honest.
What? Oh, no. The the Nobel Prize.
Yes, that's true. Jon Fosse just won the Nobel Prize in Literature.
An unheard of author.
I mean,
or?
Everyone in Norway has heard of him.
I'm in Norway. I hadn't heard of him. I'm reading Aftenposten every day.
No, you know what's funny is on the day of the Nobel Prize in Literature, which I didn't even know, like, I don't keep track of it, to be honest, but Sigurd said to me that morning, he's like, who do you think is going to win? I was like, I don't know. And he's like, oh, there's rumors that Jon Fosse could win, but that's been going for years. And I was like, okay, but whatever.
Is the book that he won for like a 1,000-page book?
No, you don't win for a book. You just win for like your body of work. So that's like why Bob Dylan won a few years ago, because it was like his body of work.
He won for literature.
Yes. And he refused to come accept it.
Why?
Such a curmudgeon. I don't know. He's grump.
Okay.
Yeah. It's part of his brand. Yeah, but we have Knut here who he planned meticulously some coverage for NRK in case Jon Fosse won. And everyone was like, but it will never happen. And then it did happen. And Knut's, he was so prepared. So yeah, we're very proud of Knut.
But that, yeah, so that's Norwegian literature.
That's it.
We've had the history books. We've had literature. I'm hoping you guys are feeling informed.
Educated.
Yeah. And
perhaps entertained.
Yeah. Ready to read more books.
Yeah.
That's it. And get that average up.
Yeah. Bring the average up.
I think I bring the average down, to be honest. If it's 18. No, I can't get the number in my head. I probably read one a month.
Oh, but that, no, that's good for men.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. See ya.